produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This radio program is produced by Kayla Padgett on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Greetings, everyone. You are listening to United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Pastor Thandiwe Nyoni from Johannesburg, South Africa. And the name of our program is called Uncede on a Ndiza Nathi. This show is produced by Kayla Padgett. And welcome to the broadcast today. This is the day that the Lord has made, that we will rejoice and be glad in it. Sanibonani, South Africa, in the name of Jesus, I greet everybody that is listening through the sound of my voice. Kwinkalo zonke zomhlaba, in the name of Jesus. It's a beautiful day. It's a shiny day. It's a sunny, basho njalo ngesilungu, it's a sunny day. And it's September, my month of birth. September it is. I love September, Bazalwan. Anyway, our topic for today, the resurrection power. Today, we're looking at ukuvuka ekufeni. I'm going to look at 3 points. Obviously, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our greatest example. First point, I'll be talking about Jesus Christ who has risen from the dead, so should we. The point is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and so should we. Point number two, I'll be talking about that the death situations in our lives are temporal. Then the last point is that the power, the resurrection power in us is greater than the power that is outside of us. Basically, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I greet you in the name of Jesus. Our scripture reading for today, we'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15 to 23. And asihlaleni nje phansi sidle idili likaJesu as we think about the resurrection power. In fact, when you think about resurrection, you wonder what comes to mind. Resurrection power, ukuvuswa komuntu ekufeni, it's coming back from death to life. Resurrection, then the power thereof, what is it? Masithi, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. What do we really mean? Okay, let's read Ephesians 1, chapter 1, from verse 15 to verse 23. Let's go. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you and remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation so that you may know him better. Amen to that. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. What is that power? Let's just continue. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. There we get our definition of the power that raises or that raises us from dead. In this case, it's the power that exerted when God used the power when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him in his right hand in heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Verse 22. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Amen to that. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Hallelujah. Jesus. From this scripture alone, we learn a number of factors that Paul, as he talks to the church of Ephesus, he's talking about that God gives abazalwane a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Magethi, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may he give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Why would we need to know him better? The three topics I've mentioned, for example, the Bible talks about Jesus Christ being exerted by the power from death to life. And my topic is that, my first point is that we too have the power to come out or to rise up from death. Obviously, in the case of Jesu, bekhulunywa ngokufa ukufa fi, where you come out from death. But in our case, ngikhuluma ngokufa like circumstances in our lives, in our families, in our personal lives, in our workplace, in our workplaces, our mental, emotional conditions, heaviness, fear, drunkenness, poverty, issues of life that make you not to live according to God's will and purpose for your life, situations that make you to die upila. Then the last point, mankuma nguti, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The power that is in you, it's greater than the power that is outside of the world. I'm talking to abantu pof abamamkela uJesu njengoNkosi nomsindisi. Let's go back to our scripture. At the same time, look at these three points. Ukuthi uJesu njenge perfect example yethu as the high priest, he rose from the dead, and so can we. Let's just go back to the scripture. Ukuthi as it says la, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Why must we know him better? Why must we know God better? It may seem like siyazi, but from this scripture, it clearly indicates to us that as born again Christians, there is power that is within us that needs to be made known to the principalities of power by the Spirit of God. As born again Christians, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. When I talk about Uti, the circumstances this is tolaguana are temporal. For example, I asked my daughter for permission to tell our story as a family, what the things that we have gone through. Starting by Utandwe Nyoni, Pastor Nyoni. Mina, in 2002, I suffered the worst form of depression. I had a physical breakdown where I inyawo lagobeka nesandla. And I had a mental breakdown. So I had a condition that really almost broke me down as a person. But it affected my family greatly. I was doing my MBA at the time. In fact, the story is told in my audiobook CD. And yes, as I announced it at the end of the program, it's available for people to listen to. But that situation at that time, it was a very difficult situation. It was a hard situation for me and my family. So the resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that raised me out of that situation. Let's read this part again. Uti, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches in his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as that mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is involved, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. As we continue to analyze and deeply look at the scripture, what is this power that we need to understand for ourselves? You might be a family out there that is going through divorce, or somebody in your family is ill, or a case where you don't know how to get out of. Maybe somebody is arrested right now for a crime that they did not commit. It's the power of God that is able to intervene in such a situation and brings mercy and justice over that situation. I don't know who I am speaking to, but in all situations, God lives. So one thing that I need us as human beings, especially born-again Christians, is that God lives, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. So can we. The situations that we find ourselves in as human beings are temporal. Earlier on, I said, I asked the permission from my daughter as well to share her story. My daughter, she just turned 23 this year. And 2 years ago, she got entry Evets to study architect. Got two scholarships this year. Last year she didn't have a scholarship, or bursary, if you call it that way. However, as fate or hardship, you call it, whichever way you'll make it, this year she struggled to register Evets again because of unpaid fees. Unfortunately, she became very sick and became hospitalized in February. She had to go back to Eskolweni, which is tertiary, in March. And already she was late for submission of assignments and projects, and she had to catch up from 7th of school. Unfortunately, again, on the 10th of April, she got again sick and hospitalized again. She had to deregister. As God will have it, and the agreements, or how do I put it, amongst discussions and letters that were to and from between the university and ourselves, that she had to deregister then so that she can register again next year. She got ill, but now she's healed. It was an ordeal situation for me as a mother. It was even harder for her as a daughter, and especially that this year she had received two bursaries, and she was supposed to have been at varsity studying towards her architect degree. However, konke kwafaneke kume. God being God, God has resurrected her to who she is in terms of the career paths alignment for. For example, She's very good in art. She draws and paints, and very soon she'll be exhibiting her artwork in one of the malls here in South Africa. And we will invite you, Ngeni Langa, to come in and support and buy her artwork while she's in the process of going back to university. Why am I sharing this story? Is that we go through hardships, but hardships are temporal. They are temporal. At the time, Mawenzeka, are very hard to consume. It's as though nothing can, like ngathakukho kuzolunga. It seems dark. In fact, when you read the Bible, yesterday myself and her, we were talking about Isaiah 60 verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, arise and shine, for the Lord's glory is upon you. Arise. Why would God say arise? If verse 2 yakutshela ukuthi darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the earth, but the Lord's glory rises upon you. So meaning God's presence is always with us. Hence my last point, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The power within is greater than the power without. So we must understand who we are and our identity. The resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that is available for us. Bazalwane, as we wrap up our conclusion for today, let us understand our true identity in Christ. Now, the Bible says the very same scripture that we looked at from verse 20 said, He exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power, dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Listen to me, Mzalwane. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead so that we may live and have life and have it to its abundance. He raised him to be seated together with him in heavenly realms. Basically, when Jesus rose from the dead, he was done. Umsebenzi wakhe emhlabeni. He had concluded his assignment. In our case, we have an example, the high priest, who is an example ukuthi senza umsebenzi kanjani. The mere fact, let's continue now, when it says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. He's our leader. God has appointed everything under his authority. We belong to Christ. We are Christians, Christ-like Christians. So our makeup is in him. Like the Bible says, in him we move, in him is our being. Then verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Jesus Christ died and was raised from the dead so that we may have a life. When we go through issues emhlabeni, let us remember that we are not alone. The Bible says, ukuthi masihambe manzini, masingene emlilweni, uhamba nathi. There should never be a time in our lives when we go through issues of life, sicabanga ukuthi akekho. Yes, I am aware. Like I have mentioned, the story, my personal life story, and the story of my daughter getting ill and healed at the same time. At the time, bokunzima. It's almost like the ups and downs zempilo. Like the very seasons zempilo. We are starting to experience spring now. In fact, the trees have sprung up. Life has those moments where everything is joyous. In fact, it's springtime. It's when people are glorious. We have celebrations everywhere. If it's not a mushat, it's church celebrations, it's graduations, it's everything at the same time. But it's all beauty for ashes. But we also have summer times and autumn times and winter times in our lives. It isn't during those times that we must understand that our identity is in Christ. In so saying, Bazalwane, I would like to close off by making the following announcements. One, I'm inviting you to a motivational wellness session, which is the relaunch of Unqede Prodojay, my company. We do motivation strategy and counseling. We are based in Soweto, Orlando East at the moment. There's a relaunch on the 30th of November this year, which is 2019. The relaunch will be hosted at Orlando Communal Wall. The session starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. It will conclude at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Everybody is invited. There's no entry fee. In fact, it's free for you to come. You have from anywhere in the world. We start at 10, and our speakers for the day we have Mr. Petulu Malapane, who will be speaking on the topic on his book Impact Generation. We have Mr. Mukine, Deborah, who's a financial solutionist. He'll be speaking on financial freedom through wisdom. And then finally, we have Miss Portia Ntsepe. She'll be talking on love, life, and everything else. So you are invited, South Africa, to come and enjoy the day together with us. Number two, we are selling, or as Pastor T. Nyoni, we're selling my audiobook CD. The CD is entitled "Getting My House in Order." It's a 31-minute audiobook CD designed for people who have gone through matters of life that were hard in their lives, like myself, as I shared my story of being paralyzed and undergoing a mental breakdown. In that CD, I tell the story. It's designed in such a way that you, as a listener, think of your own life as well. It's almost like a mirror. Uti, you're also getting your house in order. And finally, our last announcement is that if you need to book us for any services, as I've mentioned, that we do motivation, we do counseling and strategic planning. Our contact details are as follows. Email address unede@yahoo.com. Unede, you spell it as ungcede@yahoo.com. Unede@yahoo.com. Then my telephone numbers is 084-669-3615. 084-669-3615. We'll appreciate if people use WhatsApp instead of telephone calls most of the time. And this concludes our talk for today. And I would like to thank you for listening through the Kingdom, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World, Unede on Air program, Dizanati. Pastor Tandwe Nyoni signing off. Love you and God bless. Good day. Bye-bye.
This radio program was produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Shalom around the world. This is Dr. Richardson with Candid Conversations on the Finding My Way Family Network. I want to say shalom and thank you so much to our CEO and visionary, Kayla Paget, for extending this opportunity to share with you just biblical points and moments that will challenge you, that will have you praising God, that will also have you to take an introspective look at your walk. So yes, thank you so much, CEO, and your entire team. Shalom, shalom. So today on Candid Conversations, I want to take a moment just to highlight a brief passage of scripture from our word. I'm so thankful today. It is the Sabbath, it's the holy day, and I encourage you to take a little time just to reflect on the goodness of Yah, Yahuwah, Elohim. I call him by his Hebrew name, just to thank him for his son, Yeshua, the Messiah, and what he did for us, and to take that time on the Sabbath to just reflect on his goodness. Sometimes we're so busy with the cares of life that we don't actually allow ourselves to take time to reflect on his goodness, his mercies, and all that he has done for us. And not only us, but those who don't understand us. Because listen, it would behoove us as believers to pray as the word instructs, for those who speak and do all matters of evil. Now listen, Dr. Richardson is not quoting verbatim, but you know what I'm referring to. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And so it is incumbent upon us to take the scriptures and to remember, just to take a little bit of time, not to only, reflect on the beauty of life and that life that we have been blessed to experience, but also to pray, to intercede for those who, Yeshua said it himself, the world hated me. So we know if the world hated our Savior, he's even their Savior, and yet they persecuted him. So if he said that he had people who hated him, of course, by us being his disciples, us being grafted in as heirs with God and joint heirs of God and joint heirs with Yeshua, then we know that we too will be persecuted. So listen, let's head right into the word. I want to encourage you from the book of Ephesians. Yes, the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So yes, that is the NIV version. So I'm just encouraged today to encourage you to not allow the flesh to overrule us, to overtake, take us out of our character, to get us to behave in a manner or to conduct ourselves in a manner that is not conducive to holiness, that is not conducive to whom we actually say whom we are. We say that we belong to him, Elohim. So it is not a good thing. And I'm going to tell you, I know it's challenging because even for me, listen, I, like Paul, have not yet arrived. I press toward that mark. I am still finding myself in my prayer room. I'm still finding myself repentant. I'm still finding myself flawed sometimes in this area. And I say that because it's easy when people persecute us. It's easy when people mistreat us. It's easy when people take advantage of us to allow the flesh to communicate and overrule the spirit man or the spirit woman. And I'm saying this because the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Yeshua, our Messiah, we call him Jesus, left the Holy Spirit to be our guide, and the Holy Spirit will speak to us. He will convict us. He will reprove us. He does all of these things that we would be more like God, that we would resemble and reflect Yeshua, God's only begotten Son. And so when we allow ourselves to speak harshly or to speak words that are unbecoming of a believer, then it is our responsibility to listen to the Holy Spirit, not only to listen, but the word says that we're to not only be readers and hearers, but actually doers of his word. So it's a challenge to perfect that love walk. It's a challenge to resist the urge to retaliate, even if it's not with actions, even if it's just with words. So let us be careful and let us be mindful of our actions. Let us also be more cognizant of our own behaviors rather than our neighbors. It's easy for us to see how someone else is falling short, and that's why grace is there. But it's more challenging to see when we're falling short and to have that same grace extended to us. So I am so super excited, so super humbled and thankful for the opportunity to share with us this passage of scripture. Now, let me go on and let me read it actually from the King James Version and bring it a little bit closer so that you can hear it from the King James Version. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. See, right there. Don't let this happen. But that which is good to the use of edifying, and we know what edification is. It's building up. It's also building up, not only building up, but building up that our Creator, Elohim, would be glorified, and that those in the body would be edified. You get that? Our Father, our Creator, God, would be glorified, and then those who are part of the body would be edified, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So, yeah, you know, it's easy for us to say, well, you know, sin touches us all, or God knows our heart. Yes, Yeshua knows our heart. He created us, and he created us in his image. He created us for his purpose. So, you know, I think sometimes that there's a pride issue. And then couple that with a flesh issue. It's so easy. And on the flip side of that, I've seen where those who are in the body are so sensitive and so delicate about how they speak about those who have harmed them. So that's a good quality. That's a matter of fact, that's a God quality. That's a characteristic of our Father. So that's a blessing. So for those who have been injured, mistreated, maligned, and maliciously affected by various forms of abuse, trauma, any type of behavior that is not becoming of our Father. Remember this, they too need prayer. Maybe they're not at a point that you are. Maybe Sister Richardson needs a little bit more prayer, not excuses, because I do need to be accountable for the way that I treat you. But let's just say this, since you're at a different point in your life, you've pivoted and done a sort of change. You know, you've done an about face. You've made a 185 degree turn. You know, that's a blessing, great for you. But pray for me and bring it to my attention what I have done. Because see, even if you were to take it and not even give me an opportunity to be accountable for my actions, or even the corrupt communication that I've said against you, then you're taking it to someone else, and you haven't given me the opportunity to seek forgiveness from you. Yes, I can seek forgiveness, because for the most part, I probably will know that what I have said or done is wrong, and I can take it to our Heavenly Father. But when it comes down to, you know, you, if I've offended you, please come to me. We should be bold enough in our Father, through Yeshua, through our Messiah, to go to an individual. The scripture tells us that we can do this. You know, if someone has offended us, you know, if trespassed against us, then we go to that individual and make things right, or attempt to make things right. It won't always be that way, but at least we've made an effort in good faith. And we know that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things yet to manifest. So I'm just appealing to our spirit man today that we not let our flesh overrule our spirit. And we do realize that Yeshua also commanded this, that we must present ourselves in a manner or a fashion that reflects and resembles him for all intents and purposes. The book of John, chapter 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And so all men, not just the ones in the body, but those who have yet to come to our Savior for salvation, they too will see his glory, his light within us,
and it's because of a perfected love walk. Listen, as an educator, I remember a maxim that was often said, and it was, practice makes perfect. Now, I know that in my life, I've never known anything to be perfect except our Savior. He's the only perfect prototype that I have ever believed I have recognized. Everything else is flawed in some way. I don't care how perfect it seems to be. And we, by nature, seem to seek after perfection. But we'll never attain that until we're in our glorified bodies with Him. Okay? Because man is a fallen creation. It's humanity. But what I love so much is how I kind of retweaked that. I redid that. I rebranded that. I repurposed that. I'm the purpose shaker, okay? So what I say is practice makes improvement. So if we practice our love walk, if we practice loving those who mistreat us, see, it's easy or it's easier to love individuals when they love you. It's easy to love those who support us. It's easy to love those who don't resist our Savior, okay? Listen, are you hearing me? This is some good stuff. It's easy to love those who have an authentic relationship with the Father through His Son. And the reason that I say that is because, for the most part, when we have a relationship with our Father through His Son, Yeshua, we already have begun the process of resisting or rejecting ourselves, meaning not the rejection that the world does, not that. I'm talking about we deny ourselves. Maybe that's a better term. We've already begun to deny ourselves and submit to Him. We're in if we're not in complete submission, we're in compliance, in partial compliance or partial submissiveness to Him. And that's a good thing, because we recognize that pride has no place in the relationship between us and our Savior. So it's easy to love those who have a relationship, an authentic relationship with our Savior. It's challenging. It's difficult. It's challenging. It's difficult. It's almost, in some people's perspective, impossible to, love those who reject our Savior. And that's because they operate out of the flesh. They don't operate by the Spirit or by the same principles that we do. So it's quite difficult. But I tell you what, once we allow ourselves to be pliable through His Word, through the washing of the water of His Word, when we allow that Word to wash us, to cleanse us, to continue to purify us, and you know, purification doesn't come via us always making A's or us always getting it right, but it comes through Him convicting us through the Holy Spirit. I didn't say condemnation. Listeners, I didn't say condemnation, because condemnation is a tactic of the enemy. But we always have hope, and that hope is found in the Holy Spirit in our Savior through the Holy Spirit. He said He would leave the Holy Spirit to us as a comforter, as a guide. And so, you know, I know from personal experience, even now I'm continuing to learn that it's difficult. It's most challenging, you know, to love those. And I mean in a genuine way. I don't mean to love or putting on airs. That's what I'm not talking about that. I mean to genuinely walk in love to the point that you don't see. Not that you have forgotten. That's been a big conversation. We're talking about candid conversations here with the real Dr. Rich. It's been a challenge and a conversation piece, a candid conversation piece for me when we're talking about forgetting, because I am one to hold through my reading, and I do acknowledge that the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Yes, he did say that. And in my studies, in my cross-referencing, in my commentaries, and just in my time with him. This is me and my understanding, which I stand for correction. The Apostle Paul in no way, in my estimation, is saying that we should forget what we have gone through to the degree that we have amnesia. No. Yes, forget everything, the good and the bad, if it hinders us from allowing him to perfect who we are in him. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so this is what I'm saying. If my earned doctorate degree, which is a positive thing, see, sometimes we tend to look at it only as a negative thing, but if my earning a doctorate degree causes me to rely more on my knowledge, more on who I am in the flesh and in the world, then it allows me to depend on him no matter what degrees I hold, then I need to forget that too. I'm not literally saying forget that I have earned 4 degrees, 1 bachelor, 2 masters, and 1 doctorate. No. But I need to forget that part of it enough so that I can continue to respect him, that I can continue to reverence him, that I can continue, hallelujah, hey, oh, thank you, Father. Oh, my goodness, thank you, Father. Thank you for that revelation. Listeners, oh, glory, he is worthy. But if it causes me to neglect him, to, you know, kind of thump my nose at him, to think that I am no longer in need of him daily throughout the day, then yes, I'm saying as a believer, that trumps everything else. I need to forget that. Forget that. If it does not allow me to remain humble in his presence, and I'll go a step further, hallelujah, if it causes me to be prideful in the presence of my brothers and sisters, my siblings, okay, yeah, forget that. And so also on the flip side of that, to go with, you know, what's already being promoted for the most part, people I've seen in the body of believers often say, you know, forget all of that negative stuff. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. Most of the time, it's about, you know, the negative aspects of our lives. It's about, you know, all of the traumatic, the traumatic events or experiences in our lives. Then, you know, we want to forget those. But I'm telling you, in my studies, that's just not the way humanity has been set up. It's not. But if it affects us from trusting him, if those experiences prevent us from trusting him, if those experiences, those traumatic experiences, prevent us from not only trusting him, but having faith in his word and his promises, if it causes us to deny him or to reject him because we want to blame him for those traumatic experiences, yes, we need to put those aside. We need to really seek healing and humility. We need to seek humility when it comes to pride on the other side for the positive things. So anything that would hinder our relationship, our development, our continued growth in him, we definitely need to forget those things. We definitely do, because I'm telling you, we were not created in that fashion to forget. I'm so excited. We cannot allow corrupt communication. And if it happens, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest, because with our Messiah, with our Heavenly Father, because Yeshua is right there pleading, making intercession on our behalf. So, yes, let's seek forgiveness and wholeness so that we don't feel the need to have corrupt communication. But that's so common nowadays. We just say whatever we want to. But to those of you who, you know who you are, you're listening, if you have at all experienced something, you know, that just, whether it affected, negatively affected your character, if it negatively affected your being, you know, who it affected your relationships, then I say this. If you handled it by not allowing corrupt communication, not allowing the incident or the experience to cloud who you were, and you continue to, like I just read, if you continue to love in spite of, you're perfecting that love walk, I say kudos and I thank you. There are some who are listening, and I know it was just a blessing, because sometimes we do have itching ears. We want to hear the worst about people. And what is it about us as humanity, as created beings in his image, that we love or enjoy focusing on the negative aspects of others' downfalls or shortcomings? Yeah, it's not a good thing, I'm telling you. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful because we have an opportunity each day that he allows us to get up, that he, not the alarm clock, not our children, not even ourselves, awaken us in the morning, but it is him who has allowed us to see another day. So we have that opportunity to make things right and to, you know, allow yesterday to be a part of the past. Not that we've forgotten the past, but that, you know, we acknowledge it and we want to be right with him. So listen, I have some notes. So one of my commentaries read, Paul was reflecting and referring to the sins of his past life, which were forgotten by Yahuwah, and the guilt of which was removed from him by the application of the blood of Yeshua. So that Paul had no more conscience of them, yet they were remembered and made mention of by him. See, because of his humility. See, so that's what I'm saying. So when people challenge you, let me take this moment just to say this. Sometimes people will tell you to forgive and forget. Just remember, it's up to you. Forgiveness is mandatory because we've been commanded to forgive. Even in our Lord's Prayer, you know, we ask for forgiveness because we've already been forgiven, you know. So he's already forgiven us. So let's make an intentional, conscious effort to forgive others. And in doing so, being in right standing with him, let's just do it. You know, we're going to forgive because we've already been forgiven. So, yeah, I'm just so thankful. But let's also know this. Forgiveness is definitely mandatory. We've been commanded to do that. Forgetting is optional. That's what I always say. So it's up to you. If your convictions tell you that you must forgive and forget, Dr. Rich is not going to challenge you. But for the most part, I want to bring a light and illuminate that that's not really biblically sound. Do your research, do your studies, because as an educator, I do that. And it's not just something that you Google, but you do research, you do cross-referencing. And yes, books are written by men, but you also pray, because that one-on-one time with our Heavenly Father is everything. He will bring revelation and light to dark places. Father, Yahuwah God, I thank you so much for this day. This is the day that you have made. We're rejoicing and we're glad in it. I thank you that I recognize the Sabbath even on this Wednesday. It's not about a day. It's about obedience, Father. And so on this Wednesday, I take time to reverence you. I thank you for CEO and visionary Kayla Padgett and her entire team. I thank you so much, Father. I love you. I repent before you, before my Savior, Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit, my Comforter, and these, my kingdom brothers and sisters. I say thank you. I say thank you, Father. I love you. I plead the blood of your Son, Yeshua, over every listener and over our families, Father. I thank you for our employers. I thank you for favor. In Yeshua's holy, majestic, matchless name, amen. Have a super great Wednesday. I love you. Enjoy the beauty of this day. For now, faith is, by this may all men know that ye are my disciples. It's by your love walk. It's by my love walk. Let's perfect our love walks. Kingdom blessings. See See you soon. Don't forget about Ministry Moments every other Saturday with Pastor Cedric and Dr. C. Denise Richardson. Don't forget about Story Time with Princess Leah every other Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Bye-bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, 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 good day, good evening, good morning, wherever you are throughout the world that the Lord has created and the Lord has given unto us to live in it and give Him glory. Greetings to you again and welcome to Destined for Glory. My name is Benjamin Kutsuane, and this is your program, Destined for Glory, through the airwaves of Finding My Way Radio. So we greet you today in the name of Jesus Christ, and we welcome you to the program that we believe God has stirred up by His Spirit, for He knows what you and I need today. And we believe that this is the day that the Lord has made for us to rejoice and be glad in. And so even as we go into our program today, let's begin with prayer together. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for yet another day that you made for us to rejoice and be glad in. We thank you that, Father, you have appointed that we shall be alive in this day, in the year 2017, where we shall see your glory that is destined to cover the earth, even as the waters cover the sea. Father, I praise every one of the listeners throughout the world. We speak the breakthrough of the name of Jesus Christ as the exalted one, whom you have exalted and gave the name that is above every other name. We speak the breakthrough of the name of Jesus in the spirit, in the soul, in the body, in the character, in the material, and in the relations of everyone that is listening right now. And we thank you that in you there is abundance of life, and we speak the witness of that abundance of life in the life of everyone that is listening right now. In the name of Jesus, we receive our faith right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, dear listener, this is yet another day for us to embrace the broken seals of the revelation of God's Word. And even as we go into this program, let me just put it forward to you that you can connect with us if you want to email us. You can email me on bkutsuane, that's B for Benjamin, and KHUTSOANE at yahoo.com. That's where you can connect with me right there or on our Facebook page. That's Benjamin Kutsuane on Facebook page. And of course, through the Finding My Way Radio, you can also connect with us. And of course, on our mobile number there, it's +27 for South African code, +27 and 7211-51793. And we can connect together, pray together, even over the line. And we know that God is faithful. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask, what we think, and what we desire. So we thank God today that we can embrace together the appointment with the heavens. Remember, He said, "What two or three gather together in my name," He says, "there am I in the midst of them." I do believe that as we meet across the world through the airwaves right now, it's more than two or three. And remember when Jesus said, "Where two or three gather together in my name," He didn't give us just a religious conscience super statement where we comfort ourselves when people did not turn up. No, when He said two or three gather together in my name, He meant there is a covenanted resolution in heaven that whenever we connect in the name of Jesus, heaven cannot hold back. Heaven is bound to come down. Heaven is bound to release the heart of God, the intent of God, which is life and life eternal for everyone who receives, even in the presence of Jesus. So we thank God that we can connect in this way. Remember that we've been going together with the victory of the revelation of Jesus. This is the word that says to you and I, the ultimate victory for us to live in this world is to receive Jesus Christ by revelation. And what is the channel of revelation? I want us to receive it today, that the channel of revelation is faith. Yes, faith is the channel of the revelation of Jesus Christ, because the revelation of Jesus Christ is embodied in what the world calls grace. It is the grace of God. The grace of God is the very revelation of Jesus Christ. But faith is the channel that channels the revelation of Jesus Christ in our life. Where do we get that from? When we read our Bibles again in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, the word says unto us, you were saved by grace. And it says, through faith. You are saved by grace through faith. Know that if you are seated where you are, you can do it with the actions that you were saved, or we are saved by grace. Grace is like a cross. Why? Because grace is revealed unto all. So grace is like the horizontal spread of what God has provided. But then it says, through faith. When it says through faith, it means faith now becomes like the vertical cutting, channeling the grace of God into your life and into my life. And that's why whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, because faith channels the revelation of Jesus Christ in our life. So it's very important that as we go through this, you understand that we are not just speaking revelation as some spiritistic thing that cannot be accessed. No, we are talking about that which God has provided for, that by faith, you and I can channel the grace of God into our life and begin to live the life of grace and be saved by grace. And it says, through faith. So note that as we continue with this access and victory of the revelation of Jesus Christ, living the life of victory through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we are in the season right now of the Passover celebration throughout the whole world. Everybody knows it is called the Easter season all over the world. We know that it's the celebration of the Passover, and Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb, and he makes us unleavened lamb. That is the lamb that is appointed to be without sin. Why? Because Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we be made the righteousness of God. So as we are the righteousness of God. According to 1 Corinthians 5:20, we are the unleavened lamb. And so we are in the season of celebrating the Passover. And for today, as a prophetic interjection that puts us in alignment with the heartbeat of heaven in this season, throughout the world, there is a shaking that is taking place. And we know that it is God's shaking, because he said in the word, he said in Hebrews chapter 12, behold, I shake all things. And when he said all things this time, he says the heavens and the earth. There is a shaking, and he says, so that in this shaking, the things that remain may remain, and those that be removed, be removed. And he said, the things that remain are the things of the kingdom of God. And that's Hebrews chapter 12 for you. Now, we are in the season of the shaking, and we are celebrating the Passover. It is important, therefore, to prophetically connect what God is calling the church kingdom for. What is the church about? What is receiving Jesus about in this season? I do believe that receiving Jesus in this season is about the call to stand before the rulers of this world, before every principality and power, and begin to stand to proclaim the victory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we can see right now, with the flip of a television switch, the spirits that are prevailing all over the world are the spirits that are the same throughout the world. The things that the United States of America is facing politically are the same things that South Africa is facing. They're the same things that Europe is facing. They're the same things that the Middle East is facing right now. And right in the midst of all that, God has appointed Jesus Christ, and he has exalted him, and through him, he has called out and birthed the church in the earth. And Jesus himself, as we read in Matthew 16 the previous week, he declared that I will build my church upon the rock of my revelation, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So the question is, how does the church stand in the midst of what's going on in this season of the Passover? The only way we can stand is to look at him, Jesus Christ, who is our Passover. How did he stand in the midst of the development of his time? I do believe that God allowed Jesus to walk this world and to stand the way he stood, so that in the time that we are living in, we'll be able to stand and speak the heart of the Father and speak the will of God right here on earth. And I want us to receive a few points as we will be reading some scriptures that are positioning us with the victory of the revelation of Jesus Christ in the Passover season for such a time as this throughout the world, in the face of all the political developments that are taking place in the world. Number one, we must understand that these things are constructions. The revelation and the word we are sharing with you, they are constructions of creative, intersective, governmental posture. God wants us to stand creatively. How? As those who are co-creators with him. For the Bible says we are co-laborers with God. Yes, we are his workmanship. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are co-laborers with God. We are his workmanship. We are created in Christ unto good works. Are we hearing this now? We are created in Christ unto good works, which means we are appointed to be co-creators with God to produce good works right here in the earth. Why good works? Because devil, who is the god of this world, is blinding the minds of those that do not believe, and the evil is trying to parade itself as though it's ruling the world. But we are appointed unto good works, so that through the good we will be able to destroy the evil. For we overcome the evil with the good. So we are receiving creative, interceptive, governmental, clear posture through this thing. Number one, understand the power of governance domain throughout the world, the political spheres of governance, so that we know how to pray prophetically. The power of the governance domain is divinely set by God, and it is upon those that are in it. It has dominion over those that are in it. The power of the governance domain is divinely vested upon the domain itself, which means it is God who has appointed that there be the divine order of governance even in the earth. And that's why in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, I exhort therefore that prayers and intercession, supplications be made for all men, for the rulers, for the authority, for those that are in power. Why? Because it is God who set up that order. And therefore, when we pray in obedience to God's command to pray, in God's counsel, essential for us to pray. The minute we do it, we are connecting the divine purpose of God for the direction of the affairs of this world. And number two, the governor's domain does not belong to the politicians or any opinion camp that might be here in the world. As we see them throughout, we cannot even name names, but as we know the structures of governance, here is prophetic direction. The governor's domain does not belong to men and women who are in the opinion camps of that. Number three, the domain of governance wields power over those that are standing in them, and therefore, if not reverently recognized, if not honored, if not discerned with the fear and the conscience that is quickened unto God, there is bound to be vulnerability to drunkenness with power or abuse of power that prevails throughout the whole world. Why are these things happening? Because the domain of governance wields power that is from God over those that are posted as officials there. And if they do not discern that power right, there is bound to be confusion, there is bound to be abuse, misuse, or even drunkenness with power. Now, why are we showing this thing? Because in the Passover season, when Jesus was brought before the rulers of the world, he stood in a time like the time that we are standing in right now. When Jesus was brought before the Pilate to stand, he himself was the embodiment of the truth. He was the embodiment of justice. He was the embodiment of righteousness. He was the embodiment of power. He was the embodiment of integrity. He was the embodiment of incorruptibility, humility, and he was life itself. Yet, he was dragged before the rulers of the governor's domains of his time. It was in the same way. What does this mean for us? It means we are brought to such a time as this to stand even as Christ stood in the midst of all that is going on. Why? Because we now are the unleavened bread, and Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. So out of his grace that he stood with before the ruler, he exposed Pilate. When we read now in John chapter 19, we read John chapter 19 and verse 10 and 11. When we read there, we see Jesus standing before Pilate. And as Jesus stands before Pilate, he is brought nearer now to the time of his death. And we are in this season of the Passover celebration throughout the world. It is important to notice this. After Jesus was mocked and mocked and mocked, he was brought before Pilate. And Pilate said unto him, "Are you not speaking to me?" When Jesus was silent, he said, "Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered and said, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." He was referring to Judas and the Jews that were even giving him over. And he said to him, "Listen, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above." I want you to know this. In the season of the Passover, here is Christ, our Passover. He humbles himself still, even in that confession. While the confession is a confession of authority, but he released it with humility. He could have said to Pilate, "Don't you know that I am the one who has come from above, and therefore I'm having the power, I'm the one who is carrying the power of the office that you are occupying?" But Jesus still humbled himself and said to him, "Don't you know that you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above?" Now, what was this? It was Jesus exposing the ignorance of the domain of governance, the political was fear of his time, which was aiming to crucify him and to silence the voice of God through his life. As people shouted, crucify him, they meant silence his voice. But he stood there and said, the power you have is the power that comes from above, where I come from. But in the same way, like the political rulers of our day, Pilate was blinded by the foolishness of world intelligence and wisdom. He thought that he had power over the truth. He thought he had power over justice. He thought he had power over righteousness, which is all Jesus. He thought he had power over Jesus. In the same way, the powers of the day, they think they do have power over the church kingdom. But listen, Matthew 16, Jesus has already declared, I will build my church upon the rock of my revelation, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What does this mean? It means that every expression of evil that we see, even manifesting through the governments of the world systems, every evil you might be seeing will not prevail against the church, against the witness of the church, against what the church stands for. For the church stands for the truth of God, the justice of God, the righteousness of God, the power of God, the integrity of God, the incorruptibility of God. And he says the gates of hell will not prevail. What does this mean? It means, therefore, the truth of Jesus Christ will prevail. This is the hope that we have. Why? Because Christ in us is the hope of glory. The very glory that the domains of political rule is searching for is touching. The very glory that every sphere of social engagement is searching for is the glory that God has locked to be embodied in the church through Jesus Christ. And he declares that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Therefore, this means the evil that we see around may be something that is holding you in your life, and the devil is trying to put you in a corner and say, you're not the only one that gives in to this evil. You are not the only one that gives in to this addiction. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, no, God has appointed that that expression of hell, whether it's an attack in your spirit, whether it's an attack in your soul, in your mind, an oppression of the enemy, God has not appointed you to prevail. He says the gates of hell, the expressions of evil, will not prevail against the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you receive the revelation of Jesus Christ, you are poised, positioned, and empowered that you can stand to declare and speak the victory over every evil plot of the enemy against your life. Why? Because in John chapter 10 and verse 10, he said, the thief, which is the devil, which is the expression of the gates of hell, he says, the thief comes from but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he says, I am come as Jesus, as the good shepherd. I am come that you might have life, and life abundantly, which means not just life for a moment, not just life for an emotional experience of seconds. No, life abundantly, life in an overflowing way, life in a sustained way. That's what Jesus has come for, my beloved. That's what this Passover lamb in this season of Easter, in this season of the Passover celebration throughout the world, that's what this Passover lamb is about. So as Jesus stood before Pilate, so the church is called to stand in the face of all that is going on. And you may ask me right now, who is the church? The church is you and I, my friend, when we open up our hearts and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. This is the victory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now I want to close it right now with 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, where it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Yes, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true church of the Passover Lamb is the church that that is born of God. Why? Because we have believed that Jesus is the Christ. Now here is the breakthrough for you that we will link up together with the Matthew 16 where we began. The closing of the last principle of Matthew 16 where we read, he said to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Now in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, this now is our confidence. This is our confidence in Christ Jesus, that whatever we ask, listen to this right now, this is the confidence that we have, that when we come to him and pray according to his will, he hears us. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. There we are. He says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And when we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. This is the kingdom authority. This is the keys of heaven released unto you and me, that whatever we bind on earth is already bound in heaven. Whatever we lose on earth is already loose in heaven. So you and I have to walk the fulfillment of the Passover lamb on the cross, declaring it is finished. So we are called to begin to execute the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. This is your time. This is the glory that you are destined for, even right here in this world, so that through you and I, we will irradiate the knowledge of the glory of the Lord to cover the earth, even as the waters cover the sea. We speak the blessing of the Lord throughout the Passover celebration of your life. Know that Christ is the Passover lamb, and by the revelation of him in your life, you have victory over all the world. And that's the victory for your life. Receive it right now in your spirit, your soul, your body, your character, and your material. Receive it for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.